episode. Joining us, and I understand, are you self-quarantined right now, Senator Hawk?
Yes, personally. When I went back for the legislative session last week, I was legitimately concerned bringing people from all over the state of Kansas, that many, and it started out reasonably well in most places. We had to go through and get a temperature check to get into the Capitol, but probably about half of the legislators, particularly on the other team, were not wearing masks. I wore the mask the whole time, and I wanted to make sure I did not bring it home to my wife. So I've been sleeping out in the van in the basement and spending most of my time on the deck. But I think today is my reasonable day to break out. So I'm going to the dentist.
All right. Well, it's been interesting times in Topeka the last week or so. And it got a little more interesting yesterday with Governor Kelly announcing she's vetoing the legislative bill that was passed over that 24-hour session last week. Did that surprise you at all, or was that something you were expecting?
I was expecting it because it was a bad bill. It was really hastily crafted. It made changes to the Emergency Management Act that I believe really jeopardizes the governor's ability to respond swiftly, particularly if we have a second wave of COVID. And then as you'll recall, Lyle Butler was named to head up this recovery task force, which I think is really critical for us to spend the $1.25 billion the feds are giving us. If we don't spend it within the allotted time to do it properly, we have to send it back to the federal government. And it's a very unreasonable, burdensome thing that they put in there, mainly for Republican control, not for getting the job done, unlike how we've spent any other disaster fund. So that and several other things, some liability issues, were stuffed into this. It was crafted behind closed doors. It was secret. Wasn't allowed to have any amendments put on it. And it was just a horrible piece of partisan legislation. And so I expected her. But now we're in a jam. And we need to go back next Wednesday, June 3rd, and try and fix this and make it pass a reasonable piece of legislation that hopefully is a good compromise. That was not.
Yeah, and there's some challenges. Obviously, this seems to be that this has become a battle of politics right now. Yeah, do you think there's enough sentiment for the House and Senate to come together on something?
I certainly hope so. I spent, as did Representative Carlin, a couple hours in what we call our Kansas Civility Project, trying to work with a group of legislators to get us to work in a more civilized manner. We've worked with people at K-State and people in the Kansas Leadership Institute. Former Representative Ed O'Malley, who was a candidate for governor, was our speaker last night. Representative Steve Johnson from south of Salina and I and three other people are on a steering committee. And we're talking about that. And we talked about the need to listen to one another. And really, we need to break this log jam and get together in smaller groups and have the kind of collaborative, deliberative process that I think the voters expect us to have. So we had a great conversation about hopefully how we might change that. And that very same thing happened. Representative Carlin reminded us that a group of women got together when we had the logjam on the Brownback tax policy, and they actually broke that logjam that had become very politicized. And back in 2005, I was in a group of freshman legislators that I think broke the logjam on school finance when we had a special session that lasted 15 days when leadership just wanted to play politics and not really get the job done. So I hope those of us in the rank and file step up and we make some good things happen.
One thing the governor announced yesterday was, I guess, a new emergency declaration here. I guess it's a little different. I think it's created a little bit of confusion here at the local level. It sounds like it's going to turn power over to the counties, though. Is that how you're understanding it?
Yes, I got some material from the governor's press release yesterday, and that's exactly what it does. Really, she had no choice. It's not ideal. I think it needs to be a collaborative effort that goes all the way down, because people do travel between counties and so on, but the authority for making declarations and her declarations are advisory. Now, she did make some declaration that at least for the next week or so keeps hopefully the federal funds, but there are several things in jeopardy at the state level in terms of how the National Guard operates and the testing that we're able to get done. Transporting the medicines, remdesivir, is something that shows promise, us getting that and transporting that. The licensure, the trucks, the unemployment benefits, several things still need to happen at the state level. But in terms of the policies, in terms of distancing and stay at home and how businesses operate, et cetera, that's going to be all policies by the local counties and health departments.
Well, it's interesting because I think our new health order went into effect at midnight, 12:01, I guess, technically, this morning, and now raises that cap on social gatherings to 50, which we had a phased plan here going. So I guess, is that wiped out now?
I think the state level part of it is. I think that most counties, I think the dilemma when we have these kinds of things is not every county. I'm very proud of Julie Gibbs and our health department and how they've worked with the police department and the other care providers, the hospitals, et cetera. And I think we're in good shape in Riley County. In fact, our numbers show that we did flatten the curve, and kudos to everybody, our heroes and healthcare providers. But we may have some other counties that either are not as thorough about it or may not have the staff and the collaborative efforts going. So I'm worried about other counties greatly and how some of this may unfold, particularly as we open up. I want to go to K-State football games selfishly, but I want to make sure it's safe for everybody there, including me and my family who are Wildcat fans. So there's a lot at stake to kind of get a handle back on this, but right now it's up to the counties to make those rules. And I think I read that our health department will have a meeting today at 4:15. Did I not read that on K-Man?
That's right.
To issue the new order for the rest of the week.
Yep. That's correct. And, you know, I'm curious, with the special session, will this only be tied to this bill in particular? Will there be any other room for other changes to the budget for 21?
The governor called it specifically for this reason, but that does not eliminate other things from being done. So that's why some of my colleagues who've made posts in the last few hours have said they're packing, and the thought is it will only be for a day or two, but history shows, just like I said back in 2005, that was 15 days, I think, maybe more, but at least 15. So we really don't know how much other foolish stuff will happen. You know, technically, I think any new bills would have to be a do-over. So the official session ended, but new bills could be introduced.
State Senator Tom Hawk joining us on K-Man. Just one final question. Was that the longest you've ever worked last Thursday in a row?
I think maybe it is. I am aware of how everybody's nerves. That's probably true in my own house, you know, that we've been cooped up a long time, and we absolutely are careful. We don't want to contract it and spread it to anybody else. And everybody has, in their view, their own set of facts. And I wish we could all agree on a set of facts. And as a consequence, it makes it hard for people to get along. And I got a phone call from a disgruntled person that wondered, well, am I still getting paid through January? Because the session was over and we're going back. And I think he was confused that, like, Congress gets paid even when they're not working. That's not true of the citizen legislature. And we only get $88.66 a day in terms of actual pay. We get some expense reimbursement, but no, we don't get paid when we're not in session and not working. And we don't get expenses when we have Zoom meetings. In fact, we weren't getting paid for some of the Zoom meetings I had during the break between regular session and this time you die. So people, all of them, both parties, Republicans and Democrats, are trying to give their best effort, and it's not for pay. it's understandable how much people want to get the economy back open, and at the same time, people are legitimately, and I hope legitimately, concerned about whether they might catch this virus or whether it might go to their loved ones who are suffering from some kind of underlying health condition. It's serious business, and I think we still need to take it seriously, and we need to all cooperate and help one another, and I think we can get through this and not suffer the enormous losses that are still potential.
Yeah. Well said. We sure appreciate the time here this morning, Senator Hawk, and weighing in on all the activity going on in Topeka.
Well, as I always say to you and Dave and the rest of the K-Man folks, you guys are heroes too, because you keep us all informed, you keep us relatively calm, and you stir us up with the facts when we need to be stirred up as a community. So keep up the good work. And you give us a little humor, actually sometimes some bad humor, but nonetheless needed humor all the time. So I appreciate that.